Auburn football scrimmaging today, probably for the last time before A-Day. Who needs to be the MVP of A-Day? Like, who is it a big deal if he's the MVP of A-Day? And who is it not a big deal if he's the MVP of A-Day? Like, I'll tell you, as much as we love Zach, Omar Mabson on our show, we love Omar. We think Omar's going to be an outstanding Auburn running back. I don't know if it's a massive deal if he's like the MVP of A-Day. So who is it a big deal?
I think it makes more sense if Omar's MVP than like Byram.
Okay.
I guess my thought process there is we know what Byram is. We think, you know, there's a few questions as far as translating to the SEC, but like as a general rule, an idea, we've got a pretty good idea of who Byram is. We've got a pretty good idea of who Keyshawn Singleton is, who Jeremiah Koger is, who a healthy Chaz Nimrod is. I think it'd be good if Omar was MVP.
Yeah, but I don't think Omar is going to be a top two ball carrier for the team in the fall. And so if he's the MVP of A-Day, I think it means he's either getting more carries than what he'll get relative to the split during the season, or it's kind of not one-off, that's the wrong word, but I just don't think it's consistent with the opportunities that he'd get during the season. Whereas if it's a Keyshawn Singleton, well, he's kind of projected to be the number one guy. So if he balls out, if he shows it, this is the first time we're seeing these guys. This is the first time going against a secondary that's drawing rave reviews in the spring. It's the first chance to see the offense, even though it's our defense. First time to see it against an SEC defense. So even if it's your own defense, it's an SEC defense. So that's why I think if it is a Jeremiah Cobb or a Bryson Washington or a Keyshawn Singleton or even a Jeremiah Koger or Chaz Nimrod, I think it's a bigger deal if it's one of those guys. And I kind of wanted to take Byram out of the conversation altogether because he's the quarterback. And
sure.
You know, but that's why.
The last 2 years, the MVP has been Cam Coleman.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize that. I think it'll mean more to be the MVP this year. So it'll be more of a game. Because it'll be more of a game.
Yeah. I guess, was it 2 years ago where it was more of a game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because Hank threw a deep one to Cam to open it up, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was our first chance to see him. Like, that was his coming out party.
Yeah, then he went to prom right after.
Keyshawn Singleton. Yeah, that's right. So, like, if Keyshawn comes out and shows something similar, or Koger and Nimrod or Bryce Kane or any of the, like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think there. How about defensively? Is there anybody who, if they're the MVP defensively, it's a really big deal for Auburn, and it's commensurate to what you think you'll see in the season?
So I think we're going about this topic in different ways. You and I are, which is fine. Yeah. It's probably good. I'm going to say Gavin Jenkins. Like if Gavin Jenkins were to pick off Byram or Tristan Tia or, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter. Lachlan, yeah. Reese, doesn't matter. And he was able to get a return or, you know, multiple like batted balls or whatever it might be. Yeah. I think a Gavin Jenkins, who, if folks aren't familiar with who that is, he's one of the transfers from South Florida. He plays corner, but looks like he's been getting some run with the ones as of late. Cool. So I think a guy like that that's battling for a spot to come out and make a statement, I think that would be impactful, right? Like, I think that changes how you talk about something that happens over the course of the offseason. Like, I don't think Cam Coleman winning MVP the last 2 years, according to a quick Google search. Like, I don't think it changed how we talked about Cam Coleman over the summer. But if a guy like Gavin Jenkins or a Shamar Arnaud or a Blake would be, you know, just guys that are like competing for a spot that appears to be somewhat open, I do think that would change how you talk about it. A Deshaun Spencer at wide receiver or an Omar Mabson at running back. You know, is that RB2 battle still ongoing or is it just Bryson Washington? Like, I do think there's elements of this where if it's a guy who's not like a guaranteed starter but competing for the market share of snaps at a certain position, I think that's something that would matter. Like if Xavier Atkins goes out there and dominates, like we all know that he can and probably will, it really changes anything for me.
I do think we're talking about it in different ways, and I do think that's a good thing. Because I like, similarly, when I think of corners, I think, like, if Rashawn Pleasant is the MVP of the defense, that's great. Because he's kind of been projected as a potential starter.
Right.
So if he goes out and takes it, if your most productive player on that side of the ball is a guy you need to be a starter and be your most productive player in the fall, I think that's a big deal for Auburn. So whether that's Pleasant, Jordan, whoever.
I think you're a big deal for Auburn.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I think you're a big deal for Auburn, too. I said this before we recorded. You got your white polo.
Yeah.
You got your Auburn card. You got your branded polo and your white hat. Who are you, Pat Dye in 1983 walking around on the field?
That's what I was aiming for today. Yeah.
That's a good combo.
Yeah.
That's a really good combo.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, I had something and I lost it. It was a comment on the show yesterday. One of my favorite comments on the show yesterday, because we were talking about how if we don't talk about the team or the players or the coaches or recruiting, then we don't really have a show. And a guy says, I quit going to church because my pastor kept talking about Jesus. Like, yep. Yeah, that's kind of it. It sure is.
It's like, that's what I was expecting when I walked in. And it's exactly how I got. And it's exactly what I got in my response is, how dare you?
Right.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Bro clicked on an Auburn podcast, got Auburn talk, and said,
I don't care for this. I made a drive-by comparison on yesterday's show, and it drew some response as well. Because in talking about Alex Godish, we're like, all right, what happened the last time in the conference? You had a guy who was an offensive coordinator in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He went to a group of five school in the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back to the league as the head coach at a different school than he was offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
I think that guy had some success.
Uh-huh.
And I think that guy just took Ole Miss, well, just got Ole Miss to the playoff.
Right.
For the first time ever. And one of the comments in response was conveniently leaving out his utter failure at Tennessee and Southern Cal is the most Auburn thing ever. So I wanted to dive into that a little more.
Okay.
Lane Kiffin at Tennessee and USC. By the way, Lane Kiffin, 55.
This has also happened before what you were talking about.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. But like, first of all, to make the leap to I'm making a direct, like, full career apples-to-apples comparison is just dumb, and it's not what we're doing. But if I have to come out and explain everything in detail like that, then that's all the show will ever be. So, but let's go back and look at Lane Kiffin's complete and total failures at Tennessee and USC, okay?
Okay.
At Tennessee, his 1 year, they were 7-5. They were coming off of Philip Fulmer's last season, and the program was tanked.
He was only at Tennessee for a year?
Yes.
Lane Kiffin?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Big drama. I was in Knoxville the night he left for USC. We were there for basketball.
Mm.
Basketball's playing then the next day. I think that was the night that I did my Lou Holtz impression for Mark May on Reese Davis's cell phone. And that night, that was at Shoot Around.
What a sentence that was.
Yes. Yes. That was the night that I did my Lou Holtz impression for Mark May on Reese Davis's cell phone.
Okay.
And then he left for USC like a thief in the night. and they were trashing stuff in town, and it was quite a scene. There's a great YouTube video that exists of Lane doing one last like press pool and the chaos that was right before it. And they almost shut it down. They're like, hey, how about this? He just won't come in and speak at all. How about that? And he'll be gone. Y'all get nothing. It was, yeah, very dramatic. So anyway, he's at Tennessee 1 year, 7-5. They lost the bowl game. That doesn't count. Then at USC, okay, his 3 years at USC, they were 25-13. And one of those was a bowl loss. So 25-12. Would you take winning 2/3 of your games? Would you take
in the first few years of an era? Yeah.
Yeah. Like over the next 2 years, would you take 8-4, 8-4? Or would you take 7-5, then 9-3?
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
So, boy, to call Lane Kiffin a total failure at those places. And he started 3-2 at USC, lost his first two conference games, and you know,
if they were to win 2/3 of their games this year,
yeah.
And let's be clear here, since we're over explaining today, like we're not saying that 8-4 is the expectation or the standard.
Right.
At Auburn.
Right.
But if he went 8-4 this year, that would be a national story. And yeah, the energy around Alex Golish nationally and what they could do from an NIL raising point of view and a recruiting point of view, like it would be awesome. Mm-hmm. It would be incredible if they were to win 2/3 of their games.
Yeah. So I don't mind that comparison. I don't mind it at all. And I think Alex Golish has way more to work with.
That's also not even what you were comparing.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Okay.
When did he win his first year at Ole Miss? You have that pulled up?
Yep. First year at Ole Miss, it was the COVID year. So that, you know, they're 5-5.
Okay.
That's a COVID year. They're 10-3 his second year.
Okay. Got it.
They won 10 or more games in 4 of his last 5 years there, starting with year 2.
Yep.
Which was just when the portal was starting to, you know.
No, I got you.
Churn. I got you.
Yeah, no, both offensive minded, both kind of like penciled in and described as like just an offensive guy. We'll see if he could be a head coach. They get a chance at that point in his career.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way people talk about Kiffin. It's like, great as an offensive coordinator. Can he be a head coach again? I don't know.
Right.
You know, Golish went to prove it.
And
then
he went to Florida Atlantic, and he won at Florida Atlantic.
That's right.
Yep.
Then got a chance back to, you know, to come back to the SEC. So, not perfect, but there's definitely some similarities there for sure. Yeah.
What's interesting too, Kiffin was at Florida Atlantic 3 years, 11-3, 5-7, 10-3. A little dip in year 2, back up in year 3. Like there are more similarities than I realized when I started making that comparison.
Interesting.
Yeah. Maybe not important, but interesting at least.
Yeah. So, right.
All right. Wanted to flesh that out just a little bit more. Hey, Roback, got to tell you about Roback.com. Summertime, golf, the lake, just around the house, just around the neighborhood. I mean, just go to work. Look better when you go to work with their quarter zips.
And look better.
Polos. Look better. Polo. Feel better.
Feel better.
20% off everything right now at Roback.com. 20% off. Promo code BARN20. Is it still BARN20? Okay. I thought we were talking about
Roback.com.
But it's not. BARN20, RHOBACK.com. That's your promo code. It's about to get busy. Stephen Pearl and company are about to have a busy week, according to people that are talking. Like, it's a big time for addition. The planting season has come and gone, and it's almost harvest time.
Let's harvest.
I think you could be in for an interesting few days on the basketball front as these guys all over the country find landing spots.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be just Auburn, you know, fighting for these guys. It's going to be everywhere. And it does seem like they've gotten, you know, in good spots for guys that might be backup plans. Like they've kept some leads warm, which is a good thing, like the guy from that started at USC and then went to the Marymount or something. The guard that visited, I liked him. And then I like the guy from Tulsa a lot too, but I don't know if he's a plan A, but I mean, Auburn needs a point guard. They need a forward or two, and I'd like another center. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see like how big they go for those individual spots.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, the guy from Arizona, Aristode from Arizona, saw some people talking about him yesterday. He entered the portal with a do not contact tag, 6'8". 3-point shooter, primarily didn't play a whole lot down the stretch. I think got sick and didn't play a lot down the stretch for Arizona. But
well, what's his name? Koa Pete. Like he was kind of his direct backup, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, kept him on the floor.
Hard to play when Pete's on the floor and then you're backing him up.
No, he's very good for sure. No, I think the big thing with their like the wing from Arizona is he can't dribble.
Yeah.
So like there's gonna be some stuff offensively that kind of limits him. But
yeah. Catch and shoot guy.
You can get around that too. There were stretches where like Jabari had a hard time putting the ball on the ground on the floor too. So I mean it just happens.
Okay. I'm fascinated to see how they build it. They clearly have a vision in mind for how they want to build this roster.
And I'd love for Steven to just go out and just shut everybody up, man. That'd be so satisfying to watch. Put together like, oh wow, Auburn actually has a really good team now. Like,
yeah,
let's go. Let's go. And they're all Steven's guys. Like, let's party.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is the, like, if you wanted to make the argument that maybe Steven put the roster together last year, that he had more autonomy than he'd ever had to put the roster together. I don't argue that a whole lot, but there's no question now. There is no question this year. It's 100. They get the full offseason, the full runway to do what they want and build it the way they want. So yeah. Do you get a guy who can play point for 25 minutes a game? Or do you need a guy who can play point for 12 minutes a game and Tahad does the rest?
Can I talk to you about something that I'm not super proud of that happened to me yesterday?
Sure. Are we done with the basketball discussion? Or is
I was about to ask you because like we are away from that. We're going away from that.
That's fine.
Are we good?
Sure.
And sometimes you ever just get advertised to and you're like, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. It doesn't happen often. But every now and then I'll see an ad where I'm like, yeah, I want that. I want that for sure. And I saw this ad for like this new thing that Panera has. And it's like these salads stuffed in a sandwich. Hold
it's
on.
It's just a sandwich.
No, you're right. You're right.
That's called a sandwich, Zach.
What is this new thing called? Hold on. I assume it'll be on their website.
Hey, I got an idea. Why don't we take lettuce and put it in a sandwich with some meat? What are we going to call that?
Dude, it was really good. Hold on. What's new? Oh, hold on. Blurry?
How do I fix when I'm blurry, Zach? Do I have to leave the room and come back in?
No, it'll usually fix it again. You're fine. You look fine over here. So they're called salad stuffers, Brad. And I went in there because the ad I was served was the Caesar salad stuffer with chicken. And I'm like, man, that sounds really good.
Let me guess, Zach. Hang on. Let me guess. Grilled chicken, lettuce, cheese, and Caesar dressing.
Yep.
In a sandwich.
That's right.
By God, that's revolutionary.
But it's not in the sandwich. It's in the bread, if that makes sense. Hold on. I'll show you.
You mean like,
hold on.
You may not like those other sandwiches.
Look. See, it's like stuffed in the bread.
Uh-huh.
But this is the one I actually got.
So instead of...
I pivoted and got... Look at that.
What is this? So instead of slicing the loaf of bread in half...
Yeah, it's like they're hollowing out the...
We hollowed it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how was it?
It was great, dude. It was great. Really happy with it. So that's what I did. I saw an ad. I'm like, honey, I want this for dinner. And she's like, okay. So we drove over to Panera, which isn't like, really close to us. Like it took us a minute to get there. It was a haul. But like
y'all went to the one in Auburn near the mall?
It's the only one, right?
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to think. Yeah, that's a
yeah. Yeah, like, we live only like the other side of Opelika. So that's farther than we typically drive for lunch or dinner. But that's what we did yesterday.
Since we're throwing stuff out there, if Mellow Mushroom ever took like some of their crust and they hollowed it out like that and they put their Esperanza dressing on the inside, they could put anything else in it and I would buy
it. Esperanza dressing?
Yeah.
Describe that for me.
Oh, like if you get a Greek salad.
Okay.
That's the dressing that comes with the Greek salad.
Got it. Okay.
That's what you get there with like if you get the breadsticks or cheese bread or whatever, get the Esperanza dressing.
Okay.
Outstanding. I buy you. They could put anything in there with it as long as you add that as the base.
I believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's so many solid sandwich places, and the fact that some people choose Mama G's is like the most baffling thing.
Don't hate on Mama G's. What's wrong with Mama G's? Why are you hating on Mama G's?
Like a soggy sandwich.
I love Mama. What are you talking about? You
don't love Mama G's.
I sure do.
Oh, you don't.
I do, man. When I was a student, I would get the newspaper, the student newspaper, every Thursday, because there was a coupon in there that you would get the free Mama's Love if you would buy a drink. And so my girlfriend at the time and I, she would get one too. We would meet up after class. We would go to Mama G's. We would get our sandwiches and our nachos and our drinks. I love a good Mama's Love, man. No mayo, but yeah. Mm. I've even tried to recreate it on my own.
So you make a sandwich,
but I don't steam it. I don't have a steamer.
A bucket of water, and you just dunk it in there.
You hate all you want to. That's good stuff. And people hate on the nachos, and it's too simple. And it's like, it doesn't have to be revolutionary. A sandwich is not revolutionary by nature. It's meat, cheese, and bread.
I haven't heard anybody dissing the nachos. I haven't heard that. But
I've heard people, but I don't get it, and I don't agree with it.
But yeah, the sandwiches at Mama G, like there are just so many other options. It's crazy.
This is fantastic. Zach, this is from, you know, we talked about Chad, right?
Who?
You met Chad at practice the other day.
The guy who pointed really hard.
Yes.
He's a poker. Poked Chad? The stew out of me.
Chad the poker. I missed the poke. I wish I didn't realize.
Chad. Oh, yeah, Chad. They call him the power poke. Yeah.
Yeah. The power poke. He just sent me a picture holding a C4. He said, okay, let's see what all this is about.
What flavor is it?
This looks like Hawaiian punch.
Oh, that's awesome.
Zero sugar. Huh. Yeah. So he said, let's see what all the hype's about.
You know how we probably opened it, right? You know, most people like crack. He just goes, poke.
Oh, that's so stupid. That is incredible.
Chad, it was nice to meet you. I thought you were going to tell me Matt texted you.
So nice. Like, in fact, he's still got a bruise.
Yeah. Right.
That's so good.
Right. I haven't been able to move my shoulder for like 3 days, but it was great seeing you. Yeah.
Right. There you go. Please, next time, if I tell you Chad's going to be somewhere, come in a sling next time.
Yeah. It'll be good. Yeah. Just like, please just put me on this side. I got the sling already.
That's great.
All right. That does it for today's show.
Thanks, everybody, for watching or listening. Please subscribe. Remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Yeah. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.